Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
And here we are on Monday morning, November 28th. We have survived Thanksgiving, the Black Friday slash Black Weekend.
Not as much.
Black Friday weekend.
Not as much face-to-face shopping this year.
I know. That was interesting. I saw those news reports that has Black Friday lost its allure or something like that? Mm-hmm. Because so many people are shopping online and right. in so many other ways now, Black Friday isn't quite what it used to be.
And I missed all that shopping.
Did you?
Yeah, very, very sad about that.
It's too bad.
I know.
Too bad.
Thanksgiving is, you know what really has me going this week? This is mm-hmm. This is the last week of November.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like Halloween was last week. I just can't keep up with the pace anymore.
It's going quickly.
It's really, everybody said October went by quickly. November, it feels like November didn't happen.
Right.
I can't believe we're days away from December.
It's very close.
Wow.
It's very close.
Right.
So last week we talked about...
Which is a problem. Time going by so quickly is a problem for this week's topic. There is a relationship.
There we go. It's a relationship with the relationships.
There is a relationship here.
So last week we talked a lot about... healthy relationships and what we need to do to build healthy relationships. And this week, we're going to kind of shift a little bit and talk about some of the issues that people experience in relationships and really tackle some of the challenging topics of what happens when a divorce has to happen or when a relationship has to come to an end, and how do you gauge when that's really a scenario that needs to happen. So this week is going to be some interesting information that we hope will be helpful. Like last week, you know, we're going to talk about some topics that may be a little bit more adult focused. Mm-hmm. Again, just like last week, there's nothing really inappropriate about anything we're going to talk about. But it is going to talk about we are going to talk about some things that you may not want the little ones to hear. So if you have kids in the car, it may be good to listen to this one a little bit later. When you're on your own.
Right. They might ask questions that you're just not prepared to answer. So,
right.
yeah,
right.
We would advise no little ears at the first listening.
Right, right.
And then decide how you want to deal with it after that.
Absolutely. But today we're going to start off this week talking about some of the really common issues and common problems that people experience in relationships, because these are some of the things that kind of come out as the reasons for separations, reasons for divorces, and the rationale that sometimes we use when we have to end a relationship. And right. we're going to talk about nine or so different ones, because, again, these are pretty common ones. The tenth one, I think, would really be financial. A lot of people end up getting separated and relationships end because of financial reasons. Mm-hmm. And so we're not going to spend a lot of time on that one, not because it's not important, but because that one is very well known and is very common. And so we're going to kind of spend a little bit of time focusing on some of these others that are at maybe underlying or under the surface that cause problems.
Right. And just to add to the introductory notes for this week, we all enter romantic relationships with a great deal of enthusiasm and energy and hope for the future. But with divorce rates in the 50-60% range, mm-hmm. We have to at least try to figure out why the divorce rates are so high. Something goes wrong mm-hmm. in at least half of all romantic relationships.
Right, right.
And so what we want to do this week is talk about what goes wrong and how do you uncouple graciously, gently, peacefully, if that's possible. How do couples get themselves into these problems? And then what is a good way to uncouple?
Right.
We know all about getting together. So we don't mean to be pessimistic, but I think we at least have to take another look at these issues.
Right.
And see if there's anything we can do about them. And if not, how then does one go through the uncoupling process?
Absolutely.
Right.
So, all right. So one of the main issues, and we kind of searched the internet and looked at mm-hmm. read different articles and looked at different sources. And again, kind of came into contact with these nine primary reasons or nine major reasons that couples end up, that end up where couples separate and eventually maybe even divorce. And the first we're going to talk about is interference, basically interference by other family members, in particular, mother-in-laws, whether it's the wife's mother or the husband's mother, but mother-in-laws, but other relatives in general, the interference that sometimes comes from those non-immediate family, those that extended family, the interference of mm-hmm. those individuals in the relationships oftentimes causes a lot of problems.
That's right. There's a reason why comedians spend a lot of time talking about mothers-in-law, but it applies to fathers and siblings and aunts right. and uncles. You know, it's very hard to let go of your children.
Right.
You know, you know them better than anybody else. Nobody knows you better than your family members
right.
because they know you. They know your whole history. And it's very difficult letting go of your children. Fathers have a difficult time letting go of their daughters, mm-hmm. turning them over to somebody else. Mothers have an equally difficult time letting go of their sons.
Right.
So it is a natural tendency. If you are a mother-in-law,
mm-hmm.
let go.
Right.
You don't ever want to put your child in the position of having to choose between you and his spouse.
Right.
And if he does choose, it should be his spouse.
Right.
Because if it isn't, things are not going to end well.
It won't be a spouse
much
longer.
Well, it's going to be a spouse much longer.
And to be very direct and honest and open, oftentimes that's the goal that the extended mm-hmm. family member may have because right. they don't approve of this person or they don't want their child to go off and live with someone else or to leave the mm-hmm. family or anything like that. And so the goal may be to pull that child away from the significant other. And so we really have to, if you're in a relationship, you really have to examine the involvement of extended mm-hmm. family members in your relationship because that's a really important and impairing aspect
right.
of our life.
And as parents, we all have plans for our children.
Right.
You and I, you have a daughter graduating from, well, she's actually halfway through her college
right.
education, and she's thinking about the future. I have a daughter who's ready to graduate from college. We have plans for these daughters.
Right.
Those could all end tomorrow.
Right.
If they meet some other guy.
Right.
And
they make a decision.
And that would be difficult for you and me to deal with.
Right.
That would be a difficult pill for us to swallow.
Right.
Is to say, wait a minute, that wasn't the plan here. You know, we have plans for our daughters.
Right.
And they may not be our plans. It is, after all, their lives.
Right.
Okay. And so we then have to switch roles instead of being the person who's going to direct them toward this future that we envision for
right.
them. Now it's time to set back and say, okay, so now you two are going to have a different future than the one we planned.
Right.
We're going to get out of the way. We're going to be supportive.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's a difficult shift for a lot of people. But it is, again, the source of a lot of conflict in mm-hmm. relationships.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
The second thing is, and I mentioned it earlier, is finances. Mm. You know, it's really difficult to have a healthy relationship when there's financial issues. And so we really have to keep that in mind, not because there's necessarily a lot that you're going to do to change that. I mean, certainly no one would live in poverty if they could choose not to live in poverty.
Right.
Certainly most people would have more financial resources if they could just make the decision to have more financial resources.
Right.
Right. So it's not a decision that you make to say, okay, well, I'm going to have financial issues. That's nobody would make that decision.
Right.
But if you're having financial issues, if you're in a situation where finances are a source of concern and conflict between you and your spouse, it's important that you find a way to communicate that and to better manage that so it doesn't result in any form of separation or any divide between you and your significant other.
Right. Right. And I like that 90-10 rule, you know, mm-hmm. that some people advocate. I've never understood how one person in the relationship feels the need or feels that he or she has the right to control all of the finances.
Right.
You know,
right.
that's never made sense to me. I mean, you are a couple. You have shared expenses. I mean, you have a house, you have children, you have cars. So these are all shared expenses.
Right.
And it should be a shared account. if you do your budget and there's money left over, let's say there's, you know, $200 a month left over, and you want to say, okay, you take 100 and I'll take 100, and you can spend that however you want. You can save it or spend it or do whatever you want to do with it. But this idea that only one person controls it, I think it puts a little crack in the relationship because it should be a shared endeavor. Like everything else, finances should be shared and it should be open.
Right. Yeah. It's not really easy to do always, but it is a discussion to have.
That's right.
And ideally, you have it at the beginning of the relationship.
I mean, you can imagine if one spouse opened up a credit card that the other spouse didn't know about.
Right.
You know, and you're spending money thinking that that money is there, and all of a sudden, you end up with $5,000 or $6,000 worth of credit card debt that you didn't know anything about.
Right.
You know, that would be that would put a huge wrinkle, big crease into the relationship.
Right. Now, the third main thing is the division of house obligations.
Oh, right.
You know, there's sort of this caricature. And that's based in some reality of, you know, that the wife stays home and she takes care of the house and the husband comes home and the wife has dinner ready and all this kind of, okay, that was the 1950s perhaps in this. Well,
and many men are still raised in that. I mean.
Right. But a lot of people are still work from that perspective.
That's right. Many men were raised in that, what would you call it? That climate of, you know, I'm a man, I don't do dishes. I'm a man, I don't cook. Mm-hmm. I'm a man, I don't run the vacuum cleaner.
Right. Yeah. So the idea is that, you know, the man does the outside work. He mows the lawn and rakes leaves and does that kind of thing. And then the wife does all the housework. Right. And because of the nature of our culture now, of course, most women are working. And so, you know, most couples are too working spouses. And so it's important that there is this division of labor at home, you know, that it's not just the wife that's responsible for all of these things and that the husband is going to take part and he's going to participate in this. Because if she worked 8 hours today and you worked 8 hours today and then she comes home and she has to do all of this other work, that's...
Somehow the household chores are hers.
Yeah. You know, right. I saw a funny video on Facebook yesterday. And the wife was complaining about things, and I'm sure that a lot of people saw this. It's very funny. It's by a comedian. He says, she's complaining about, you know, I got to do your laundry. I got to do the dishes. He goes, no, wait, I didn't want to tell you about this, but you see this basket thingy? He says, somehow when I take my dirty, nasty clothes and I put them in that basket thing, the next morning they're all washed and folded and put away and everything. He goes, I don't know who does it. I don't know how it happens, but I didn't want to tell you about it because I didn't want to jinx it.
Right.
And it's like that's sort of, and it went on. It was actually very funny, but it's the way that a lot of men tend to think that, you know, this stuff just happens. It doesn't really take much responsibility. It doesn't take much work. She just does it and it happens.
Well, and one of the little statistics that I loved was that a husband adds 7 hours per week of work to a woman's schedule. and a wife's, and that I found that interesting because there's some resentment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like you're creating work for me, dude. You know, because men, you know, kind of messy. So men actually add to a woman's responsibility. So men have to be mindful of that. Regardless of what you think your role should be, once again, like finances, this is a shared responsibility. You can't ask one person. Now, if a woman is not working, it might be reasonable to assume that the majority of the housework, not all, but the majority of it, because she too is working all day in the house taking, usually women don't work if they have children.
Right.
Okay. So that means she has responsibility for the children, responsibility for the house. Those are big responsibilities, and they still should be shared.
And that goes whether the wife is not working or the husband's not working. If the husband's not working, then he's responsible for those things.
That's
And so, now the fourth thing is another layer to that, and that is the arrival of children. We talked about that a little bit last week. That many relationships experience stress and there is some dissatisfaction that enters the relationship as soon as we start entering the responsibility of children.
I continue to be amazed at the effect that children have on these marriage relationships.
Right.
You know, I was really surprised by all that.
And it's not, it's not to say, and this is for just in case you do have little ones still listening, it's not to say that kids make us unhappy.
Right.
It's not to say that we don't want our children. That is not the case in any way.
Yeah, we all keep having them.
Right.
You know.
And we know how it happens.
There's something to that, right?
I mean, it's fun. Well, there's fun parts of it. We'll get to that in a
little
few minutes.
Years.
But at the same time, the strain that it puts on the relationship because of right. decisions that have to be made and obligations to our schedules and sacrifices of sleep and things like that, those are all of the aspects and keys that really begin to affect a relationship as a result of the introduction of children.
Right.
It's not the kids per se.
Right.
It's the strain on the schedule and lifestyle and the changes that are necessary right. when you enter that aspect.
It's an enormous responsibility. If you take yeah. it seriously, it's an enormous responsibility.
Right.
And they children exert a huge effect. They have a huge impact on a marriage relationship.
Right,
you
right.
know, don't underestimate it.
And the next number five is going to be a combination of some of these other things, and that is that the relationship, the couples begin to stop being couples.
Are we talking the S word?
Not yet. I'm going to save okay. that one for last.
Really?
Yeah. I figured that we should just save that one for last. But
you just mean in general.
In general, we have an evolution that happens where the partners begin to live separate lives.
Right. That's right.
And so they aren't working together anymore. Mm-hmm. They're mm-hmm. no longer a team. They're no longer... And we hear this from couples often where they say, well, we're just roommates.
And that is an extension of having children.
Right.
Because with children, you have this very... You have this enormous change in roles.
Right.
You know, from wife, from spouse to mother, mm-hmm. from husband to father. And that changes your identity.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when couples... cease being partners, mm-hmm. that introduces a lot of conflict in the relationship.
Sure, you can see, I mean, when you're single, you go out and play tennis together, husband and wife go out together. You can go on dates. You can say, hey, let's not eat at home tonight. I'll meet you someplace. And you mm-hmm. go out and have drinks. And those days are over.
Right.
For like 14 or 15 or 16 years.
Right.
You can't do that anymore.
Right.
Those days are gone. So all the things that brought you together as a couple, suddenly that changes. Over time and with children, the things that held you together begin to disappear.
And I think that the over time piece is important also because mm-hmm. it's not just having children that
no,
changes that.
Uh-uh.
It's as you age and as you begin mm-hmm. to have responsibilities from other things in your life,
that's
that
right.
changes as well.
You're moving through your career and you started out where you could work 8 or 9 hours a day. Well, as you advance in your career and you become, you assume administrative supervisory responsibilities at work, mm-hmm. you're increasing your workload.
Right.
So again, you're spending more time at work, less time together.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, this one goes again right into number six, which is chronic complaining.
Oh.
You know, we have this tendency for some reason as we remain in relationships over long periods of time, we have this tendency to only talk about the bad stuff.
Right.
You know, we complain right. to each other. And not necessarily complaining about the other person necessarily, but it's complaining about work, complaining about the kids, maybe complaining about mm-hmm. this and that. And so the relationship is now just a vehicle for negativity, for
right.
complaining, for blaming, and for that type of negative interactions. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's not healthy for any relationship.
Right. And again, it's a function of time. Over time, you're sort of drifting apart anyway. And then your home becomes a place where you can bring all your complaints, whether they're about your partner or about something about the house or something about your job or something
mm-hmm.
about other family members. You know, we often hear people say, well, home is my safe place. That's where
right.
I can bring everything. And it should be safe, but it should be sacred.
Right.
And so don't forget the other part of that is that home should also be something you protect
right.
from all the complaining and all the negativity.
Right.
So.
Now, the next one is, again, sort of related to some of this, and that is narcissism. And not necessarily narcissism from a diagnostic perspective,
mm-hmm.
but narcissism from this perspective of refusing or not being unable to see things from the perspective of the other person.
That's right. We one of the common pitfalls, obstructions in many marriages that we see is the need for somebody to be right.
Right.
You know, and it, as you say, this isn't narcissism in a clinical sense. It's narcissism in the sense that I have to be right about things. You know, I'd rather demolish. You know, that's not the right word. I have to be right, so therefore I will battle to the end.
Right.
Because I have no. It's more important for you to resolve your conflicts right. than to be right about them. Because you're a couple, and if you always have to be right, that's gonna damage the relationship. Mm-hmm. You're gonna diminish your partner and damage the relationship. You have to resolve problems, not win arguments.
Absolutely. So, the number eight is going to be. Addiction.
Oh.
And addiction is a major issue in a lot of relationships. And whether that's addiction to alcohol or substances or...
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what the addiction is to. When a person has an addiction to something, they're spending a great deal of their time and energy and focus on whatever that other thing is, which pulls their attention and focus away from the relationship. Mm-hmm. And so that... is a major issue.
And we use the term addiction because it's the most extreme example, but we also talk about dependence.
Right.
And we also talk about overdoing it. I mean, you might not be addicted to golf, but if you're spending 3 days a week on a golf course, right. you're taking time from something
right.
else.
Right.
There was an explosion of articles a few years ago about how smartphones
right.
were changing relationships
right.
because... People would, they're not addicted, and we've said this before, you're not addicted to a cell phone, but you become dependent
right.
on a cell phone. And so partners take their cell phones to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have this, what should be a very special part of a relationship now you're bringing your cell phone. That's like bringing another person to bed with you.
Right.
Now you have three people in the bed instead of two.
Well, and that leads us to the ninth one, which is the intimacy. And there was an mm-hmm. article in the Psychology Today magazine earlier this year, and I think that the title was Ménage à Trois,
mm-hmm.
and
That's
they were
right.
talking about when a couple go to bed together,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily for direct intimacy or intimate relations in that way, but they're there and they're both on their iPhones or they're both on their tablets or they're both focused on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, it's the introduction of this sort of third party.
It is a third
that
person.
That creates a distraction. It takes away from the opportunities to interact and to in the very least to have a conversation or to talk a little bit, before going to sleep and handling things in that way. So absolutely. And so the number nine is intimacy.
And
problems with intimacy.
We could talk a long time about intimacy, but with this cell phone business,
mm-hmm.
We just all finished Thanksgiving.
Right.
And I'm sure that sometime during the Thanksgiving festivities, one generation said to another generation, get off your cell phone.
Right.
You're addicted to your cell phone. And I had that same, I have teenagers, and they spend, teenagers by nature,
mm-hmm.
spend a considerable amount of time on their devices. And at one point, I just felt like if my daughter is on her phone, that's like she's having a conversation with somebody,
mm-hmm.
and I shouldn't interrupt that.
Right.
One of the things you have to understand is the previous generations consider that a form of communication.
Right.
And I'm not going to interrupt you if you're on your cell phone.
Right.
If you get up in the morning and you're on your cell phone, I'm not going to interrupt and say, good morning, how are you? And I'm not going to start another conversation with you because you're already in a conversation with somebody.
Right, right.
So, but yes, once you introduce that third person,
mm-hmm.
By way of a device into your relationship, the relationship could get damaged.
Right, right. And so while that's an issue, another reason why, or another major conflict in relationships is intimacy. And, we have situations, and it's really difficult to talk about, especially in this kind of forum, on a mm-hmm. podcast and things
right.
because of the nature of it. But, there are times when, one person decides that they don't want to have physical intimacy anymore, and the other partner continues to want to have physical intimacy. And so now we have this situation where one person wants something that the other person's not interested or willing to provide and share with them. And that create that has I think that's one of the things that is that has surprised me as being such a major issue in so many relationships. Because when couples come in and we're talking about things, we get to and we talk about all these sort of superficial things. Well, we can't communicate very well. He does this, she does that. But as we meet, you know, the third or fourth time, then it starts coming out that, well, you know, he doesn't want to be intimate anymore. She refuses to be intimate. And that is really... that really seems to be the taproot to so many of these issues, because there's not really a resolution to that. You can't make the other person do something. You can't, you know, if you feel like communication is an issue, you can go see a therapist and you can communicate to the therapist and you can do that kind of thing. If your partner's not choosing not to be intimate, physically intimate anymore, where do you go and what do you do about that? Because then we have issues with fidelity and faithfulness and those kinds of things.
You you stepped into a huge issue with this.
It is a huge issue.
And we discuss this frequently with each other,
right?
With other professionals, because it's a huge problem, and one that I wished we could spend a considerable amount of time on, because it's very common that one person is no longer interested in having sex.
Mm-hmm.
One person in the relationship. It may be because of physical reasons, health reasons. It may be because of children. It may be fatigue. It may be depression. Dozens of reasons why a person may want to stop. Please don't underestimate the damage that this is going to do to your relationship. What you must understand is you may choose to be celibate. For whatever reason, you may choose to be celibate, but you're imposing celibacy on your partner.
Right.
And just as there are consequences for everything else in life, there are going to be consequences
mm-hmm.
when you impose celibacy on your partner.
Right.
This is an issue that you better be able to discuss at length with your partner, because there could be consequences that you don't want to deal with.
Right.
Well, eventually.
It's just, right, and it's consequences that are going to lead to, that are not going to resolve problems. And we don't mean it as consequences as, aha, you know, this is what you get, this is what you deserve for your behavior. We just mean consequences as in, that happened, and as a result, this happens. And it's not to say that anybody's right or wrong, per se, it's just that it just goes back to last Monday's podcast, which was communication. You have to communicate these, and you have to find a resolution to these things, because if you don't, it's going to result in decisions and conflict that really isn't resolvable.
And I would urge listeners to really seek help with this one, because this is a deal breaker.
Right. That's why I saved it for last.
Yeah, this is really a deal breaker. And while we understand that there are times in your life where you just say, no, we understand that there are individuals who will say, I'm not interested in having sex anymore. I have no interest. It's no appeal. I don't want to have sex with anybody anymore. But remember that you're imposing that on another person.
Right.
And that other person has to make a decision.
Right.
About whether they, you know, is this for better or for worse?
Mm-hmm.
You know, does this come into the category of, okay, well, I chose a spouse who only wanted to have sex for 10 years. And then the next 30 years, I'm not going to have sex.
Right.
I mean, is that for better or for worse? So this is something that you need to think long and hard about, because let's say, and if there are little ears around, you may want to turn this off, but let's say that a man says, okay, let's say a woman decides she doesn't want to have sex anymore, couples in their 30s or early 40s, and the man is not ready to be celibate. He has a couple of choices.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not allowed to exercise any of those choices, you've put that person in an untenable position. Right. There, some decision has to be made, mm-hmm. Because that other partner, whether it's the man or the woman, doesn't matter whether it's the husband or the wife, if they want to remain sexually active and you're not going to be sexually active within the marriage relationship, then some sexual activity is going to occur somewhere.
Right.
And for you to say, no, you can't do anything with anybody, whether it's real or virtual, mm-hmm. You're putting your partner in an untenable situation. Mm-hmm. And that's probably going to be a deal breaker.
Right.
So yeah. Please be careful with that one. Yeah. And seek some professional advice with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. We warned you it was going to get dicey with some of these conversations but it is, I think it's important for us to talk about it. I listen to a lot of podcasts and listen to a lot of mental health related podcasts, and a lot of people avoid some of these conversations, and when we started out with the podcast, we wanted to make sure that we provided information that was real. You know, mm-hmm. and this is one of those things, because this really is a major issue, and it's again surprising at how frequently this really is an issue in relationships, and so it's just important for us to talk.
Yeah,
about
this is a difficult one, and we may come back to this issue at some point, because we have both men and women therapists in our practice, and we have talked about this with mm-hmm. each other. Both from a woman's perspective and from a man's perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's something that we may want to discuss at length in future podcasts.
Right.
We've talked about doing that. But certainly, if you're struggling with this issue, please give us a call, because it takes some time. It takes a little time to work through this, but it's well worth the effort.
Yeah.
I wouldn't try to do it yourself.
Yeah.
This is a thorny issue. And we want to make sure that it doesn't become a lose-lose in your relationship.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well, I think this was the longest.
That's the longest
morning
short
show
podcast we've ever had.
We've ever done. But again, it's this is sort of setting the stage for some of the things we're going to be talking about this week. So it's really important that we kind of covered some of these things. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts about any of that stuff, we would love for you to write to us and let us know. And, you know, let us know what you have experienced or what you think about some of that. So, all right. So tomorrow, so that's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow with another morning show that will probably not be as long
as
this one. It depends. We'll see.
There's a reason these are longer.
That's right.
Okay. So
these are challenging issues.
Stay tuned. It's going to be an interesting week.
Yes, it will be. So, all right. So have a great day, and we will see you in the morning.
Good day.
All right, bye-bye.